We're back. Here's our conversation with Richard Florida, an American Urban Studies theorist and university professor at University of Toronto School of Cities and Rotman School of Management. Richard, I consider you my go-to, my Yoda, my sensei on urbanization in cities. Talk to us about what you see the major impacts and kind of, and then second order effects of the novel coronavirus on this massive move towards city over the last 30 years. What impact does it have on cities, second tier cities? What do you see happening?
Well, it's a big question. And first of all, I think in the wake of these kinds of crises, and this is the latest, and it's a very serious one, but 9/11, and then certainly the financial and economic crisis of 2008, many people were quick to come out with dystopian takes, especially about New York City. I mean, New York City's obituary has been written three times over the past 20 years. And if you asked me what my single biggest error has been, it has been actually taking those takes too seriously. So I wrote my book, Rise of the Creative Class, in the early 2000s, and people said, cities won't come back, back off your thesis. And I kind of said, well, okay. And then after 2008, I wrote a book called The Great Reset. And they said, you know, New York is dead. London is dead. They won't come back. The financial markets will move to Charlotte or wherever. Both times, cities came back with a ferocity and a veracity I would have never expected and became hyper-gentrified, incredibly unaffordable. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen this time again, but I have been able to go back and read a lot about the history of pandemics, infectious disease, pestilence, and plagues. You know, they've never really dampened the trajectory of urbanization. You know, they may have killed many more people, but the force of urbanization in making people more innovative and more productive has always been stronger. And the thing that really struck me, I was born in the middle of the 1957 pandemic, which killed 100,000 Americans, far less than the current pandemic, but which also killed infants and children. My parents never told me about it, and I never knew it existed. And moreover, my parents were born in the 1920s, and they were the youngest, both of families of seven, which means most of my aunts and uncles were kids during the Spanish flu. No one ever told me about the Spanish flu. So it seems to me that we have gotten overly vexed about this end of cities argument. And I think that cities will face challenges, but I don't think this will kill off cities. And I think at the end of the day, when we're through this in a year or two or three, New York will still be the greatest city in the world. It will still have the leading concentration of the financial markets. San Francisco, warts and all, will still be the center of high technology. Toronto, Paris, London will all be great cities. And there'll be change. Maybe we can talk about that a little. But I think that we've gone far too overboard in predicting the end of cities.
So let's unpack that a bit. Let's talk about New York. I want to throw out a couple hypotheses, and you tell me where I've got it wrong or where you disagree. I was thinking that New York is singular. You said it. It's the best city in the world. The density of grit, talent, you know, creativity, nothing like it. You've had a real estate actually coming down the last two or three years, but people are always going to want to live in New York. The wealthiest people in the world have homes in London and oftentimes in New York.
So first, on New York City. You know, if you look at the New York Times data, not on the people who left, the 420,000, which included a lot of students, that's still only 5% of the city's population. If you look at the mail forwarding data, which is really interesting at the New York Times, it's about 1.6% of New York City's population had their mail forwarded. Most to areas surrounding New York, I think it's 0.02% to Miami, 0.02% to LA, 0.01% to Washington, D.C. What happened is it compressed moves that might have been made over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, family formation moves, expensive city, hard to raise kids, can't get a lot of space. Those folks left. I think the city gets way younger. Younger people are risk oblivious. You can meet great people there. You can forge a career there.
If you were 25-year-old male, college degree, off to a decent start, what city would you want to live in? What cities would you tell your 25-year-old self to move to?
Well, if I was 25, I would be worried about my career and whatever career that was. I'd be worried about developing the personal context to move forward in that career. But I'd be even more worried about finding a mate. I think it's New York. I mean, I think it's New York because it has the most possible economic opportunity, and it has a fantastic selection of people to meet and to date.